This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
What a word from God. So we're going to be looking at Isaiah 40 today. And it's obviously a day today of encouragement for you to go after it yourself. In the same way Pam brought around the communion table, you know, she just shared an example out of her life today, not to say that she's got it all together, but to encourage you to go after that. And so I want to encourage you to go after it today. I want to encourage you to go and get, who's got a Bible, like a real one, like a paper? And yes, if you don't have one, you know, I'm all for technology. I have the Bible on my phone. I've got it on my iPad, but there is nothing like the real deal that you can highlight and write in and just, you know, my Bible's part of me. Go and get your Bible. Look up Isaiah 40 and I want you to read it. I want to encourage you to read it and study it. God's obviously speaking to us as a house, and that's not just for the elders, that's for all of us. So we're going to have a little look and an introduction really to Isaiah 40 today, and it's just to get you hungry. It's to whet your appetite so that you're going to go. I want you to go and I want you to look for yourself. We were at a leaders meeting on Monday night here, and Jason actually asked us, we went around the room and he asked each leader just to share what they got out of Isaiah 40. And it was really encouraging to me, the different things that people saw, the different things that came out. And we need that in each other, and we need to share with each other and encourage each other. Some of the things Maria said: you are crossing over into a new season, Mont Bold Christian Fellowship. This is for us, a threshold time into a season of reaping. This is what we've been praying for. Clean up is going on, establishment of kingdom in our midst. Some of us are behind schedule and some have taken detours and some have spent too long resting. It's time to arise in the kingdom ministry of Jesus. Some of you want to get stirred up for the kingdom, but the Lord says it's time for you to stir up the gifts that I've put in you. MCF, it's time for you to stir it up. All right, we're going to have a look this morning. So my aim is to give you an introduction. So the book of Isaiah, I want to stir up a hunger in you to study this passage of Scripture. For each of you to hear what God is saying to us at MCF in this season. You know, there's all different ways of studying the Bible, and I know that there's some in here who don't like reading. But guess what? You can listen to it on your phone. Or you could get someone to read it to you, get a partner up with someone. There's all different ways of studying the Bible. Get together with someone, talk about it, talk about what you've read and what you've heard. Share with the elders the things that God shows you. Share with us. I want to hear from you. The Word of God is so important to each one of us. It's food for us. It nourishes us. It's so important. It's a lamp to show us the path ahead. It lights the way and shows us if we've wandered off the right path. And that takes all of us as a church and as a body. If we're going together, don't just rely on one person to be reading the Word and then spoon feeding you. I actually had a picture, and I don't think it's for us. I think it's a warning for us not to become like this. And I've had this picture before. Don't depend on someone to spoon feed you. And I had a picture of someone being fed porridge, and you just come and open your mouth and someone puts the porridge in and you don't even have to chew very much, it just goes down. That's not what God wants us to be like with the Word of God. He wants us to go and read it for ourselves and chew on it and swallow it and let it get down into our spirit. But he wants you to do that for yourself. The Word of God is a mirror that we look into to make sure that we're reflecting a good likeness of our Father to those around about us. So that's just my encouragement for you about reading the Word of God. You know, I never go out without looking in the mirror first in the morning. I know there's probably some, but I just need to make sure that my hair's not, because my hair doesn't look like this when I wake up in the morning. Well, that, you know, so I always make sure I look presentable to the world, because it's not fair on them for me to go out without doing that first. And that's what the Word of God does for us. It's not fair for us as Christians to go out into the world without first checking that we look okay and that we're giving the right reflection to the world. All right. Who knows? Our Bible, this is actually not a book. It's a library of books. So every book in the Bible is a separate book written for a separate purpose. We've got history books, we've got love letters, we've got prophecies, we've got poetry, and they're all contained in the library. If you've ever tried to read the book from Genesis to Revelation and have it make sense, and it does to you, well, you're amazing. That's awesome, because I can't do that. And we make the mistake sometimes of reading it like we would read a novel. And it's not like that. It's actually a library of books. And if you can get that in your mind, it actually helps you to read the Word of God with a bit more clarity. And there's actually a Bible teacher who I listen to a lot, and I'd encourage you to. His name is David Pawson, P-A-W-S-O-N, David Pawson. He's a great, he's with Jesus now, but he was a great Bible teacher, and he teaches a lot about that. So my encouragement would be for you to go and find that out. So it's not actually a book, it's a library of books. And the passage that we want to focus on, Isaiah 40, is a book of prophecy. You know, Isaiah is really fascinating. It is the Bible in miniature. If you've never read the whole Bible, no judgment here, try just reading the book of Isaiah. It is actually the Bible in miniature. The book, the library of books that we have in the Bible is 66 books, right? You're getting a little bit of a lesson today. 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Isaiah is clearly divided into two sections, chapters 31 to 39 and then chapters 40 to 66. The Old Testament has 39 chapters and the New Testament has 27 chapters, same as Isaiah. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are all about judgment. They reflect the Old Testament. The second half, the second 27 chapters, are all about hope, and they summarize the New Testament. Chapter 40 starts with a voice of one crying, John the Baptist. Then it goes on to talk about the Lord's anointed servant who will give his life for the sins of the people and will rise and be exalted. And then it moves on to spreading the good news in chapter 62 of Isaiah. And then in chapter 66, it concludes with a new heaven and a new earth. That's all in Isaiah. How amazing is our Bible? So why should you read Isaiah? Well, you know, it's a good introduction to the whole Bible. You should read it because it's in the Bible. It's a summary of all the themes of the both Testaments. And like I said, if you think the Bible's too big, then start with Isaiah. It's a good introduction to prophecy. You know, prophecy, the prophets of the Old Testament in particular, it was like they had a microscope that they could look at their present day and what was happening right then and then in their culture and where they lived. And they definitely spoke. Isaiah was definitely speaking to the people of his time when he wrote this. But he's also, it's like he's using a, what's that word? Telescope, thank you, to look into the future and to be able to speak to us. I love the Bible. I want you to get, I'm passionate about the Word. I love the Bible. So I want to share a few highlights with you that I've seen in this chapter during the week as I've read over it. But we're not doing an exhaustive study this morning. We will be out of here today. We're not going to do the whole thing. But there's so much more, and I really look forward to hearing from you about what God says to you just out of chapter 40 in Isaiah. God was very specific last week, and we need to take notice when God talks to us like that. Let's not move on too quickly. There's obviously things in Isaiah 40 that God wants to say to us as a church. When you read it, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what He wants you to see, not only for yourself, but for you as part of MCF. And then share that. So we're going to read chapter 40. Let's read chapter 40 together. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. That's the other thing I would say. Read as many translations as you can get your hands on. I love the New Living Translation. That's my daily read. That's what I read all the time when I'm studying. If I'm doing a really intense study of the Word, I'll go to the King James, the old King James, because it helps with studying. But I read as many translations as I can just to get that different feel of what the Word is saying. Okay, Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout that people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with their fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains or hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forest and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the world began, are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent in them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after the other, calling each one by name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Haven't you heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I don't know how you're still sitting down in your seats when we're talking about our God and listening to how he describes himself. Our God who calls the stars out. I just have this picture of him saying, okay, stars, time to appear. And like an army marching out across the sky. That's our God. That is our God, and he speaks to us, and he's saying to us today, Mombok Christian Fellowship, I've got things to tell you. The God who holds the universe in place has got secrets that he wants to whisper into your ear and put in your heart, because he's got things for us to do. All right, I'm going to just stick to my notes. All right. I'm going to just point out a few things that I noticed out of this. Just this week, I didn't even have a lot of time to really, you know, you may need to spend some time in this. The first word, comfort. And he says it twice. Who knows when God says anything to us twice? We better be paying attention. Comfort. Who knows that the meaning of words can alter over time? Right? The first word of chapter 40, comfort, does not mean the same in our modern language as it did in the age that it was written. When our modern society thinks of comfort, this is what I think of comfort, I think of warm doonas on a cold night, hot chocolate around the fire, a hug from a loved one, cuddles with our fur babies, someone who listens to us and strokes our hair and says, poor, poor you. These things can and do bring us comfort. There's nothing wrong with those things, but I think we've lost a key ingredient in the meaning of the word comfort. Let me read what comfort actually means. The first word in the definition of comfort is the word strengthening aid. Assistance, support, solace, consolation in time of trouble or worry, a feeling of relief or encouragement. I'm going to give you a bit of a lesson now. The Middle English word comforten is to strengthen spiritually, to inspire with courage, to exhort, to cheer up, to encourage and to invigorate. We know that Jesus told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, and the Holy Spirit came to say, you poor, poor thing. It'll be okay. You don't have to worry. And he does say that. But he came to empower us. He came to comfort, to strengthen, to invigorate, to inspire, to lift us up. And to say, come on, church. It's there if you want it. Come and get it. That's comfort. So we hear comfort, comfort, my people, just in that verse alone. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. God is, in that verse alone, is saying, you are mine, you are my people, and I am going to bring you comfort, and I'm going to bring you double for your trouble, and I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to inspire you, and I'm going to lift you up, and I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to give you what you need to face everything that comes your way. And then he speaks tenderly to us. Verse 2, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Speak tenderly. Chapter 40 begins with a heart message, church. God heals our broken heart. That language, speak tenderly, is a word straight to our heart. God wants to speak straight to your heart. Verses 3 to 6 talks about preparing the way. And this is the heart work that Phil Mason spoke about last week. Make a straight highway, fill in the valleys, level the mountains and the hills, straighten the curves, smooth out the rough places. That's talking about your heart. That's talking about the work that needs to happen in our hearts. When God comes and brings us comfort and strength, he comes to give us that so that we can make a straight path for him. So that we can fill in the valleys. Think about your heart. the places where there's been valleys, the places where there's been mountains, the places where there's some curves or some rough edges need to be smoothed out. The idea of preparing the way of the Lord is a word picture because the real preparation must take place in our hearts. Building a road is very much like the preparation that God must do in our heart. So what is the message for us, MCF, out of that? Be strengthened, MCF. Be comforted. You are my people. I am your God. I am here to strengthen you, to inspire you with courage, to cheer you up. Joy. We've been hearing so much about the joy of the Lord. I'm here to invigorate you. Maria's word said that some of us have been resting for too long. God is speaking tenderly to your heart today, church. He's in the midst of us today to comfort. Not so that you can stay where you are, but so that you can get up and do what he's called you to do. All right, I'm going to be so quick. You're going to be so amazed how quick I'm going to be. You've got to listen fast because I'm going to talk fast. The next thing is shout. I love a good highlighter. I highlight my Bible, and whenever I see a word repeated, I just highlighted it. Verse 3, listen to the voice of someone shouting. Verse 6, twice he says shout, shout. Three times he says shout. Verse 9, he says it three times in a row again. So I'm thinking, okay, there's something about shouting. So, O Zion, messenger of good news, shout it from the mountaintops. MCF, we are strategically placed and it's time for us to shout. I'm going to share, I may have shared this with some of you before. Where I live in Mombolk, I'm on a hill really and I can look down, I can see from my kitchen window, I can see who's in the Safeway car park, so watch out because I can see you. I can see who's having dinner at the bowling club. At night, I can watch football for free, tennis, netball, everything. I can see all of Mombok from my kitchen window. And I remember one day, this was many years ago now, that one of my children, she was having a heated discussion with me in our backyard. And she was being passionate and loud. And I remember turning around and saying to her, all of Mombok can hear you. Because they probably could. Because who knows, it echoes out across. And so that's a bit of a running thing in our family. When anyone gets a little bit excited, it's like the whole of Mombok can hear you. Will you be quiet? Well, guess what, church? I think that's a picture of us in the spirit. We are strategically placed. The whole of Mombok can hear what comes out of this house in the spirit. We are strategically placed so that we can out whatever happens in here and the atmosphere in here goes out across our town. The whole of Mombok can hear you. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful what you're speaking. Be careful what you're praying, MCF, because you have influence and the whole of Mombok can hear you. So what is the message? Shout. It's time to shout, church. You are crossing over into a new season, a threshold time into a season of reaping. So first he brings comfort and spurs us on and encourages so that we can shout. And we've got good news to shout. We've got good news for a world out there to shout. Verses 12 to 28 are the glue that holds it all together. The greatness of God, his incomparable might, power and wisdom. If ever you're feeling a bit low, get out Isaiah 40 and read that. Read about God who says, you know, how many times have you tried to give God advice? And he says, really? He says it in there. I don't need your advice. I am God, the creator of heavens and earth. It's the glue that holds it all together. This is why we can trust. And this is my third point. Verse 31, we're skipping right down. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. How amazing was Jill's song for us this morning? She didn't know. And she wasn't here last week. Verse 31, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The word trust means to wait, to look for, to hope, and to expect. And do you know what else it means? And I love this because it fits with Pam's communion so well. The word trust means to bind together like a twisting. God wants you to do that. That's, he says, if you will trust in me, if you will bind yourself to me, if you will be so close to me that we are woven together, that people can't separate us, then you will rise up with wings like eagles. There were three words in that last verse that stood out to me, and this is what I shared with the leaders on Monday night, so I'm just going to share it with you. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar, they will run, and they will walk. The word soar talks to me about the word that we had this morning, rising up above. The word running talks to me about when I'm busy doing things for the, you know, when I'm busy. And when I'm walking, sometimes it's just a matter of one foot in front of the other. That's all I can manage. That's life. That's everyday life. When the Bible talks about our walk, it's talking about our life. It's talking about the everyday. So God says, MCF, I am here to strengthen you. I am here to give you comfort. I'm here to give you the strength to be able to shout so that you can soar, so that you can run, and so that you can walk. They're the things I want to leave you with this morning, church. Those who trust in the Lord, those who bind themselves. Are you bound to the Lord? So that when people look at you, they can't see the difference between you. They can't tell where God starts and you start. And church, the whole of Mombok can hear us. And the whole of Mombok can hear us because they hear what we speak into our families, what we're praying into the atmosphere, not into just the atmosphere, the spiritual realm that changes the atmosphere over our town. All right, will you stand with me? If you want to go after this, we need to go after this, church. This takes some action on our part. Don't just come and be, here comes the airplane. This week, I need you to encourage me. I need you to see the things in Isaiah 40 that I didn't see. Talk to each other. Just even if it's one verse, and just read that one verse out of Isaiah 40 every day this week. And talk to someone about it, what God's showing you. Father, I pray for us as a church. Lord, you are speaking to us. You said if we want it, come and get it. Well, I want it. I, for one, want it, God. I want everything that you have, and I am coming after it. I'm going to take you at your word, God. When you say that you have those things for me, then I take you at your word, and I'm coming after it, and I'm coming hard and fast. I'm coming in hot, God. And I pray that we go there together, Lord. I thank you for this body. I thank you for this body that you've placed, this family that you've placed me in, Lord God. I thank you that this is a place where I can find what I need, Lord God. In my brothers and sisters, that when one needs to be lifted up, we lift each other up. That we encourage each other and spur each other on. That we remind each other, that we say to each other, hey, remember, the whole of Mombok can hear you. Or we could say to each other, hey, did you forget to look in the mirror this morning before you came out? Lord, I need people in my life that will do that, that I can trust. And God, I want to be that person so that we can go and we can shout, Lord, do a heart work in my life. Make the rough edges smooth. Bring the high places low. Bring the low places high so that my heart, Lord God, is a highway for you, so that your glory can be evident in my life and in our life, in the life of this church. Lord God, so that we can go out and shout the good news. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one of my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would continue to speak your word into their hearts as they go from this place today, as they interact with their families, as they go to work, as they go to school, Lord God, that they would reflect who they are, and that is a son or a daughter of the Most High God who holds the universe in place. Bless your name. Amen. Thank you, church. Be blessed.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.